Thank you.
The reading is from Ephesians, it's chapter 2. I think it's actually all of chapter 2, but I'm just going to read verses 11 to 22 because there's quite a lot packed in here. It's on page 1174 in the Core Bible, and it's verses 11 to 22. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. And the subheading is Jew and Gentile Reconciled Through Christ. So, okay, beginning at verse 11 then. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we were both have access to Christ, to the Father, by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen.
Moving away with us slightly, so perhaps what you prepare for this week, we can have next week, and we just turn to God's word. Thank you, Michael.
Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that as the word is opened to us by Tim this morning, that you'll bless him, you'll use him. May his words be your words. May he challenge each of our hearts. In your name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
So we just come to the final one in our series on grand designs. And we're just going to think a few moments about this before we have opportunity for prayer with and for each other. Recently I heard a chap called Charlie Luxton being interviewed on radio. And for those of you who never heard of Charlie Luxton, he's a presenter of Building the Dream, and also I think Homes by the Sea or something like that as well. But Building the Dream, this is where people build sort of their own houses, and he's an architect, and he sort of goes along, and you see him through the program. He always wants to make one sort of small change. You know, he has his little bit to say, and they either accept his little change or not. But it's not that I spend all my time watching these programs or anything, but I'm quite interested in them. But he was on the radio program, and the presenter of the program was just listing all the programs which were on TV about houses and building houses and looking at houses and everything like that. And he asked Charlie Luxton, why were there so many? And Charlie said something along the lines that, it's everyone's dream to own a large detached house with a bit of seclusion and away from it all. It's everyone's dream to own a large detached house with a bit of seclusion and away from it all. And I have to admit, if I was thinking of my dream house, it probably would be detached. It probably would be away from it a little bit, a bit of seclusion, you know, maybe in the country, you know, with nice grounds around it or something like that. That would be my dream, detached, bit of seclusion, grounds. I'm not sure whether I prefer actually the country or the sea. I do like to be beside the seaside. I do like the sea, that sort of attraction. It's nice to be there, but still a bit detached, a bit away from it, but by the sea or in the country. It's so interesting, though, isn't it? Most people's dream is to be detached and reasonably secluded. Then on these programmes, they do then sometimes say, but with a bit of access to a bit of life. They want it all, really, don't they? They want to be near enough to a bit of life, but want to be detached. And maybe that's us sometimes. We want to be detached, secluded, but every now and again dip in to a bit of life. Once on Grand Designs, there were a group of people who were, although they were perhaps building detached homes, they built them together, right next to each other, in a community. And so the whole community built each other's homes. They were involved in building the home for each other. I think that was in Brighton. And so it was a type of collective and cooperative. It was the only way that a number of them could afford their own house. And although there were a few fallouts along the way, not only did they build houses, but they build friendships and community. So what's that got to do with us? Well, I would ask the question, what is God's grand design? What is God's grand design? And in verse 19 of our reading, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Or the Message translation says this: God is building a home, and he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. And we see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Actually, just a bit of an aside, there's a well-loved verse in John's Gospel, words of Jesus, at the Last Supper in John 14, 2. And many of the, shall I say, slightly older generation will know it as this: in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So that's mansions in the King James Version or the New King James Version. And yeah, I'm thinking, yes, I get a mansion when I get to heaven. But the more modern translations, i.e. the NIV, says rooms. My Father's house has many rooms. Actually, I'm going to find I've got roomies when I get to heaven. We're going to be not isolated in mansions, but have roommates. Or in the NRSV, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. So it seems like we have a preference to be detached God's grand design calls us to be community, living side by side, being placed stone by stone into a home, into a holy temple in which God is quite at home. Or which we can say in which God lives by his Spirit. God's grand design is that you and me be placed together within this group of people in a place where God lives by his Spirit. Or we could say a place which is alive with God's Spirit. That's his God, that's his grand design, that you and me are together in a place, building each other up, in a place where God is alive by his Spirit. The songsters were singing, and the first part of Ephesians chapter 2, which Joe was reading, was about our salvation. And that's great. And oh, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. The blood of Jesus saved me. Why? So then he goes on to say, so there's no hostility, there's no dividing wall, that God is building us together. He's restoring community. He wants you to experience what it really is about, community in which God lives by his Spirit, where God is quite at home. It's a community which is alive by the Spirit of God, so we know God's grace. A place where we can pray for each other, encourage each other, support each other. This is God's grand design for us to be an each other people. And people where God's Spirit is at work. So today, as often happens in this church, we offer prayers for healing and wholeness. And actually in that, it's an opportunity to be each other people. An opportunity where some people can pray for others. That's all we do. We offer the opportunity to pray for each other. And some people will come to the front and you'll be able to be prayed for. That's what God's grand design is. That we can pray for each other. And some of these prayers might be for healing. Because in God's grand design, he's enabled his people to pray for each other for healing. It might be there are other things that weigh you down, which burden you, that cause you stress or anxiety, things which some way inhibit you. And in God's great mercy, he's built us together to be each other people where we can pray for each other over those things. We believe that God can set you free in those areas. And praying for each other can help. And we want to be able to pray for you in this. To be people who are for each other, praying for each other. A place where we are alive with God's Spirit, with God's Holy Spirit. So as we pray for each other, maybe that dangerous prayer that all said was prayed, come Holy Spirit, alive with God's Spirit this morning as we pray for each other. This is God's holy temple where God is at work, where God's Spirit is alive, is it not? And if God's Spirit is alive, why not pray for each other in the Spirit? And it may be that through the last few weeks, as we've spoken about God's grand design, we've talked about plans. I know the plans I have for you from Jeremiah. We've talked about the foundation of Jesus Christ, but building well on that with gold and silver. And we've talked about the cost of discipleship And that may have all been quite heavy, but maybe God has spoken to you through that. And you want to pray about that, maybe, this morning. Just to ask God to confirm what he said in your thinking, or to encourage you, or to make you bold in your thinking. And then last week, we also had the opportunity, those of us who were here, we were talking about disciples of Jesus and the cost of disciples, and some people sort of signed their name up saying, yes, I want to be that disciple of Jesus. I've counted the cost. I'm prepared to, and I want to be I give myself again to being a disciple of Jesus. And then this morning, just as we pray, well, there's still that opportunity. There are pens just around the corner. You might want to sign up still to be that disciple of Jesus. This is a time for building this morning. This is a time for building. It says, God is placing us together, brick by brick, stone by stone, and praying for each other builds us up into God's holy temple, a place where God is alive by his Spirit. And so maybe this morning we need to move from that dream of being detached. I'm going to do this all by myself. I'm going to do it in seclusion, my discipleship journey, my dealing with my burdens, my anxiousness, my life situation. I'm going to do that detached on my own. Well, maybe we need to move from that into God's grand design of being community, where we're each other people and we allow ourselves to be prayed for and we offer prayer for others. That's what God's grand design is. Let's build each other up, brick by brick, stone by stone, into this place where God lives by his Holy Spirit. Just before we offer that prayer time for ministry, I just want to pray for Doris. Just as she faces operation on Thursday, could be up to a 5-hour operation, on brain operation, on the tumour on the brain. So let's just pray for Doris. Heavenly Father, we just want to remember before you now, Doris, just in these coming days as she prepares herself, Lord God, be her peace. Be her well-being. Be her joy. Even as she anticipates difficult days ahead. And we do pray for the skills of the surgeons. But we pray beyond that, that your hand of healing will bring her safely through that operation. And in restoration afterwards, Lord God, be her strength. May your Spirit just live within her being so in a way, passionately, Lord God, that she is restored in health. Bless her, we pray, just now, and those who are looking after her and being alongside her at this time. Yeah, give them the words of encouragement, we pray. Amen. So let's be each other people. Take this opportunity to be prayed for, to pray for each other, just as we spend these last few moments in worship together. Thank you.